$6 at the previous day's closing share prices. The letter extolled Comcast's 21 million cable customers, 5 million high-speed internet customers, and the possibilities of video on demand and broadband video streaming of Disney content. We hope that the Disney board will pursue the opportunity that this proposed combination presents to your shareholders, Roberts concluded. The Comcast team waited anxiously for any signs of a Disney boardroom revolt. They didn't have to wait long. That same morning, Barry Diller called Brian Roberts to report that he'd spoken to Eisner, who had consulted him about fending off the Comcast offer. On Diller's recommendation, Disney had hired famed takeover defense lawyer Martin Lipton of Wachtell, Lipton, Rosen & Katz in New York. Clients who hired Lipton rarely had any intention of negotiating a friendly merger, let alone embracing a hostile offer. Moreover, Lipton had represented AT&T in Comcast's long, hostile, and ultimately successful pursuit of AT&T's cable assets. They felt Lipton still resented Comcast from that battle. Later that day, after its board met by telephone, Disney issued a distantly cool response to the Comcast offer. The Walt Disney Company Board of Directors has received and will evaluate the unsolicited proposal from Comcast Corporation. In the meantime, there is no action for Disney shareholders to take. Today and tomorrow, the company will present to institutional investors and analysts at a previously scheduled conference its broad array of unique and valuable businesses, as well as the strategies being deployed to fully realize the long-term value of those assets. Roberts, Burke, and the rest of the team realized that something had gone terribly awry, despite all of their preliminary communications. Confronted with the reality of a bid from Comcast, Mitchell had evidently panicked and retreated into Fortress Disney. Comcast's line of communication through the intermediary went dead. The Comcast bid also encouraged immediate and more fundamental obstacles. In Orlando, where Eisner, Iger, and other top Disney executives were meeting with Wall Street analysts, Disney officials were furious at the timing of the Comcast bid, in the belief that it had been deliberately timed to overshadow Disney's presentations. But the presentations gave the company the opportunity to boost its stock price, which, in the face of an all-stock takeover bid, is by far the most effective defense. Disney accelerated the release of its quarterly results, which were buoyed by the effects of Nemo and Pirates. Disney shares rose 16% in 2 days, both from the improved results and as arbitrators jumped in, expecting a higher offer, either from Comcast or another bidder. Despite the efforts of Roberts and Burke to explain the rationale for the offer, both to Wall Street analysts and major shareholders, investors reacted far more harshly than Comcast's executives and advisors had expected. The stock of a company making a hostile offer almost always declines, and they had expected some negative reaction at first. But after years of capital investments and the $51 billion AT&T acquisition in 2002, Comcast shareholders had been looking forward to a period of increased cash flow and higher earnings, not another big new acquisition. They questioned a cable operator's ability to run a major creative business, overlooking the fact that, in Steve Burke, Comcast had a seasoned executive and a Disney veteran ready to